This is Dr. Tar.
This is Professor Fiddler.
This is... I've got superpowers. Damn it, I can't fly.
Krakatoa, this is Dr. Head. And you are experiencing...
This is Dr. Tar. Tonight's, or whatever your time zone is, we bring you Mystery Men, a 1999 superhero comedy action production that kind of flopped at the box office.
Oh, flopped big time.
Oh, flop. But it is kind of noteworthy to go back and look at in retrospect here. It's a fun movie. It's a, like I said, it's a comedy action movie with a notable cast, and for whatever reason, the movie was just slightly off mark and no one really caught on to it. I don't,
maybe it was the writing.
Yeah. A high possibility.
Yeah, I think the cast. I came into this with such high expectations when I saw it in the theater.
Oh yeah,
I mean the cast is stellar. Paul Rubens, Hank Azaria, Ben Stiller.
It's a really hit or miss.
Jeffrey Rush. Yeah. You know,
William H. Macy. Come on,
William H. Macy,
the best actor. Janine Garofalo.
I mean,
Jeffrey Rush.
It was, you know, Janine Garofalo was in her cute phase.
No, everyone. And
the commercials made it look like, oh, God, the trailer was like, this is going to be great. And I got in there. I'm like, oh.
The trailer used the music from Army of Darkness. It's the one part of the theme that the trailer used was from Army of Darkness's intro, which is Danny Elfman. Right, so if you watch even on Prime, if you just let it sit there before you hit play, you hear the and it's totally that theme, which I think is, you know, it really gets you, it sells you. But
they play that other shit.
I'm going to say this right now: it did not hold up for me. Like, I just watched it again, and there's a lot I like about it, and a lot I love about it. But it is really uneven, and it's funny because the best parts are not the main character parts. You know what I mean? By any means, yeah. Like
some of Jeffrey Rush's parts are pretty
good. Well, because
he makes them good.
I like Jeffrey Rush.
He makes them good.
The part isn't good. It's his performance.
It's his performance.
Yes. Yes.
Well, same with Greg Kinnear. Greg Kinnear, I think, outshines everybody else. You know, with his, he really has that kind of like game show superhero kind of thing. And there's all kinds of little tidbits in there. One of my favorites is, what's his manager's name? Shit. What's the
actor? I know who you're talking about, and I can't.
He's fuck. Why doesn't it come up?
Hang on. Well, you're looking for that.
Oh, Ricky Jay. Ricky Jay says, "I'm your manager, not a magician." And I'm like, "Oh, Ricky Jay," because Ricky Jay is a magician, you know.
Is a magician. Yes.
Ba-dun-dun-tsh.
And Kinnear, you know, Mr. Amazing. Or whatever the guy's name is. I like that he's like a wearing a NASCAR suit as far as like all the sponsors.
They're arguing about it.
Really clever because now we have that kind of, we have that
Highlander.
Sense of
Homelander.
Cynical, like corporate sponsorship for, you know, when you see the predecessors of The Boys. Here with the corporate sponsorship.
Only done on a more family friendly level.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, this was kind of not aimed at that audience. You know, it was making fun, and that's what I like. I'm same way. You know, I agree with everybody else. The movie doesn't hold up. You know, and I've watched it. I think I watched it last year too.
Yeah.
You know, just and I went, but there's moments because I.
It has a charm to it. It's just,
and,
yeah.
And I was and able to more or less, you know, just kind of analyze the movie too, you know, and right. see what broke it down, what, why it didn't, why it didn't.
Yeah.
Dr. Head hit the nail on the head. The script just is not very good.
Right.
You mm-hmm. know, it's just not a very, very intelligent script.
Well, the guy who wrote it,
that, oh. who wrote it? Go ahead.
I don't know the guy's name, but he also wrote The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Which is another something. Great hit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. why this guy is like fucking yeah. allowed to touch a pen or pencil or a computer yeah. Yeah. is beyond me. Why anyone keeps on hiring him.
Give me a pen and some paper.
This was a Ben Stiller project, too. You know,
I was embarrassed for him.
He had like, a lot to do with it. Well, he disowns it now. You know,
rightfully so. But he was embarrassing. Just watching him, like, oh, come on, man. I'm not a big Stiller fan.
He's going to go paper on you.
You know, it's like he's really hit and miss. Like, he was good in the Meet the Parents, but that's because of the script was funny, not him. The script was well written. It was tight. And but I'm like, okay, you got potential. But honestly, if I would compare, I would much rather have the International Justice League of Super Acquaintances from SpongeBob. That was a much better version. Krakatoa.
Mrs. Tarr commented that I asked her, what did you think of it? She goes, well, she goes, Ben Stiller. She goes, it was Ben Stiller. I didn't like Ben Stiller. He was just being Ben Stiller.
Well, here's the story.
She did not like it. Yeah, yeah, it was because of him.
The story is that it wasn't a Ben Stiller. It was they were hinging it on Ben Stiller's momentum at that time. He didn't even want to do the movie, and neither did Janine Garofalo. No, because they were ready to go on vacation, and somehow they got roped into it. And I think it was the director who talked them into it, and I think he showed them some of the concept art. Because I'll tell you this, the set design and the concept art, the costuming is fucking amazing. Like, there's a lot of
beautiful looking,
really cool stuff that goes on.
I'll agree with that. It looked really good.
But he did not want to do it, and that's why they ended up disowning it. And I think they disowned it, you know, only to save their asses because, you know, they should have known that it wasn't,
it wasn't
going
funny.
To be.
Like, I mean, I love the fact that you got a superhero, William H. Macy. I'm the shoveler because I can really shovel. I'm like, okay, then what are you going to do with that? And then it just, like, peters off. It, like, doesn't go anywhere.
That's one of the main problems with the movie. Yeah, like, you're right.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, you know, and I loved Janine Garofalo.
I really did like.
I love that
he had a black
wife. Ball.
That was really cool.
You know, and this was in her cute phase. I kind of had a thing for her at the time. Like, okay, she's really cute. I liked her character. I liked that they had tryouts. You know, it kind of reminded me.
I liked the tryout. Max Cop. I thought that was one of the best.
Garofalo. like I wanted to see more of those characters. Like, those might have had more potential. But the only redeeming character and performance, really most redeeming, I think, was Paul Rubens as the Spleen. He was great. I'm like, okay, that's the only thing that made me laugh, especially his opening performance. And then seeing his superpower, he's a fartriloquist. Like, that's that's fantastic. Like, or fartastic. But you know, that was great.
He talks like this all the time, too.
All the comedy is like, okay, if I were 8 years old, I probably would have loved this movie because it's aimed for a third grade boy.
It really is.
That's fine, but it just
I think the writing rate went too low. Yeah, I agree.
It needed something to counter it though too, and it just, you know, I mean.
Well, Jeffrey Rush is
great. But just bring something back up to it, and it didn't do that. And just,
but the idea of breaking Jeffrey Rush's villain character out because it's going to make Mr. Finn Amazing look, you know, going to get his ratings up. I love the concept of it. I love that cynical. Yeah,
that was kind of fun.
Like, that's good, but then nothing happens with that. We don't really see that being played out as much.
It just kind of plays out like. Boom, boom, boom.
I'm like, okay.
It's there for the ending.
you mentioned SpongeBob. You mentioned SpongeBob SquarePants. It does a good balance of high and lowbrow, where you get the kids and you get the adults.
Yes.
Where I think this was trying to do that, it did not. It did not do it consistently.
I agree.
Anyway, it didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
It's curious, you know, that if you look at their superpowers, their powers, I'm not going to say superpowers.
Yeah, they're
because
not.
None of them have any powers.
They're fine
credits. The only thing in the whole thing that makes any kind of superhero sense is the bowler. You
baby
know?
Bowler, yes.
The swing ball. That's the only one.
Yep. Well, the guy that can cut metal.
Because he controls the balls.
The Native American who can cut metal with his mind.
Yeah.
Remember the guy that cuts the guns in half? That's
The mystic guy, yeah.
But eventually, Invisible Boy, though, too.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. That's true. Invisible Boy, right.
Oh, yeah. But one of the worst.
When they
lines.
Weren't looking, but
you, I think yeah, how do you know? How do you know?
They showed it from our perspective.
So one of the worst lines and the worst delivered lines is from Janine Garofalo. Do you think you should put some shorts on to fight crime today or something like that? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like it's so you're like, oh, it's so low hanging fruit. And
<Ba-dum-bum.
laughs> yeah. And
that was funnier. That's funnier.
It is, but it's
grapes or coconuts.
The way she delivered it was so like, I don't even want to be here. You know, I'm just throwing this line out there. Or somebody gave me this line and I think it's fucking stupid.
She looks annoyed and ready to leave.
Yeah. Yep.
We do have to mention probably one of the better parts in the movie. Parts. Their weaponeer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. How they introduced it.
I was going to go back to it. I like that they suddenly find this.
The beginning is great.
Component to
the beginning
movie.
Is great. The three old Asian women singing throughout the whole thing. And then you've got Tom Waits there, and he's like, I'm here for the ladies. I don't live here. I'm here for the ladies.
Offering us sweets. And she's like,
See, Tom Waits, because he's in there for so little, and like he's got that really wonderful cameo. He does a really good job in the role. Because
he's such an odd character.
We don't see it enough to where we start hating him for it.
Exactly.
And like his performance in Dracula, I thought was fantastic. You know, as Renfield.
Renfield.
And by the way, his makeup as Renfield when he was in the asylum. By the way, it's just
So I mean, that was
that
really
was Renfield.
Good.
That was a creepy Renfield.
But I'm like,
The movie has its moments, you know, and has you know, and I give it that, you know. A bit of an effort, you know, that they tried, you know, it didn't work. I don't know. You know, you talk about people disowning it for, you know, that's such a callous thing, I think, to
but it was kind of, it was ahead of its
that
time.
That bothers me about an actor who would disown something like that, you know.
Yeah, me too.
Mostly because they want to, you know, divorce themselves from anything bad they did. You know, I like the people that embrace it. You know, I did a bad role.
Michael Caine.
So what?
Michael Caine.
He talks about Jaws 3. People said, "Oh, Jaws 3 is terrible." He goes, "I haven't seen it. I know the script. I know it was a bad movie. I read it. I was in it." But he goes, "But that house or that movie bought my mom the house that she's living in now." You know, I'm like, because he's a working actor.
When if you ever watched the documentary In Search of Darkness, they're talking to these critics and they're like, "There was a time when Michael Caine didn't see a paycheck he didn't want to take." You know, and you're like, that's absolutely true.
But there's numerous actors like that.
There are, but not
Nick
ones
Cage.
That are as
Nick
good
Cage.
As yeah. But those are both we see those because they're both very good actors. I think the thing about this is that Ben Stiller disowned it because he, being Ben Stiller, which he was Ben Stiller to the max in this movie, could not carry or save this movie. As a matter of fact, it was for me part of the worst part. Of the movie. His character was absolutely fucking ridiculous.
As impotent as his superpowers.
All of them. My favorite was the Blue Raja, only because he only wore green, and he became great the moment he was in his room doing this stuff.
Mom!
Mom! And he changes his accent. You're like going, all right. Well, and who the voice of the actress is of that, you know, we've seen her and heard her.
Larry Hartman!
Yeah.
Louise Fletcher?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, nice, so great. Nice.
Yeah, I recognized it. Yeah. I like her because of Mary Hartman right here.
Yeah.
She looks pretty good. Hartman.
Well, and the only time you'd ever see Jeffrey Rush and what's his name? Greg Kinnear in a scene together. And it's the best scene in the entire movie. You know, right? And then following that is the scene where he's about to be killed, and he's like, "Switch seven times, you moron, moron." But the Jeffrey Rush and Greg Kinnear scene is great. I mean, just the dialogue and the I love it, Harvey. Oh,
Jeffrey Rush in the movie though is. He's really, when he's there, he's funny and he's engaged. Yeah, I like him as a villain. He's really cool. You'd like to see him again.
He's one of the most charismatic people you'll ever see on screen. I mean, like, you know,
part. And I love the fact that their whole gang has this disco theme going to it. Yeah,
There's an absurdity to it that I like absurd comedy. I have no problem with that. It just doesn't work in this movie. Like, it just doesn't fit. They were trying a lot of things like, oh, this would be funny. Like, no, it wasn't, because it was just like things that they thought were funny, but it didn't gel, it didn't work, didn't make sense within the internal of the movie.
The writing itself was just not sharp.
And blame the fucking writer. Whoever the fucking writer, Pluto Nash. It's like, no, go out and find him.
Send him
a message.
Have you guys seen Pluto Nash? I've never seen it.
No,
yeah. I have. Yes,
I saw it when it first came out.
Yeah,
did you?
It was at a time when I'd watch any of those with my son. You know, because I'll tell you this: Pluto Nash is not as bad as they say it is. It's not great. It's like Mystery Men. It's not great. It has its moments.
Yeah. It's flawed.
It's just flawed. Yeah, it just is. Nobody knew how to make this a complete movie. The what did you say, Louis?
So you kind of enjoyed it like this. I mean,
Louis Lasser was Mary Hartman.
That's it. Neil Lasser. I'm sorry. You're right. Louis Lasser.
Yeah.
I said Louis Fletcher.
Yeah.
No, Louis Lasser. Louis Lasser. I meant Lasser.
Well, we had this movie had Wes Studi. It had Lena Olin.
Yeah.
You know, it had Doug Jones, but you know, it's just fucking amazing. It had Claire Forlani. Michael Bay was
a director, $68 million budget. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was huge.
I mean, I guess it was a mid budget movie at the time.
Well, the guy that Kinka Usher, isn't he the one that directed it?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is like he's only directing.
He was also in it as a character.
He's like some character behind a stand when the spleen was doing his fart shots and knocked them all out. He was like the guy behind the bar or whatever it was.
Oh, Eddie Izzard. Cuthbert. Come on. Anytime Eddie Izzard's in there, it's great.
He is
amazing.
He did a pretty good job.
Artie Lang, wasn't he the cop that was like scared?
It had a good cast. That goes to show you, a good cast does not make a movie make.
It had its moments,
a
good script.
Yeah, Cuthbert also did Hocus Pocus and the Return of Swamp Thing.
Well, Hocus Pocus was big, wasn't it?
Hocus Pocus did well.
It's a horrible movie, but it did well.
You know, it's got a few moments. It's not a good.
So
it's
same not a good thing.
Movie. No,
but some of the performances are good. I like Kathy and Jimmy as her witch. What's her face? Sex in the City. I thought she was good in the dumb blonde witch.
You know what? And it could be it could have been kind of fun if it was treated a little more
camp. Might have darker. Been a little more dark.
No, I think a little darker.
Yeah,
but anyway, that would be.
But yeah, and Return of Swamp Thing was pretty awful. So.
Yeah, I honestly think that Mystery Men would have been a lot better if it didn't have Ben Stiller in it. You know what I mean? Like, even if they just eliminated that character altogether, there would be opportunities to do all of the other stuff. I felt like the shovel and the idea of the silverware guy or whatever, they were just not. So what's the movie we've watched that is the superhero movie that has Rob Lowe in it?
And The Specials.
That's what you should go watch. If you want to watch a movie like that.
James Gunn?
James Gunn. Yes. Well, I think he wrote
his
it.
Brother. Yeah. He played
But James Gunn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The driving force.
Yeah. That's amazing. Dr. Head, have you ever seen the specials?
No.
Oh my god. Oh, you would fucking love
it. It's a lot
it.
Well, like
I say
this,
you'd love it, but I don't know you anymore.
No, that's it. It's got its moments that are pretty cringeworthy.
Bad. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it only gets a 5.7, 50% of Rotten Tomatoes.
It's a good movie. I really like the movie, but
it's a lot like Mystery Men.
There's scenes in there that if I'd have been a producer, I'd have told the director
it's
to cut. Kind of
like
Shakes.
It's kind of like Shakes the Clown.
Cut ooh, those fuckers! The boys. Cut him! Nuke that scene, motherfucker! No, but it's got good. It's got some really good stuff in it too, though. You know, it's kind of James Gunn feeling his oats, you know, coming into his own, and you know, because this is one of his formative movies.
No, I got the DVD.
Early movies, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I still do. But I just came
Mystery
across
Men
it.
Is, yeah, just an oddity. It's kind of interesting to watch too, just because it's kind of dated, you know, in how it looks.
Right. Yes.
It's I think it's even was dated in 1999. I thought it was dated. Yep. It looked dated. It looked like 1986.
It really wasn't a good movie.
1989.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah.
But I love it at the end when he goes, the reporter's asking the Blue Beetle, "Hey, are those nipples?"
I didn't hear that.
Was
I missed
when
it.
The reporter was asking the Blue Beetle, he goes, "Are those nipples on your costume?"
Yes. Oh,
yeah,
oh,
and he like freaks it. Yeah, at the very specials? End of the movie, and it's the whole
movie?
Batman.
I was confused what movie we were talking about.
Yeah, but anyway,
okay.
Well, here's why I liked Mystery
on the costume.
I liked Mystery Men because that was a time when I was seeing every movie in the theater. Like, I would go to the theater every weekend, possibly two times a weekend, sometimes three. And then also during the summers, because my son was growing up, we would, you know, I would be home during the summers and I would, that's what we'd do. Any movie that was out, we'd go see it. And I had the Mystery Men poster, which is possibly one of the greatest posters ever, because it was printed on two sides, one where it was correct and the other where it was backwards. So I would literally, it hung in my living room, and I would every like 2 months switch it around so that when somebody came into my house, they'd be like, "Wait, wasn't that?"
That's the poster we needed, Feather. You know, it's just
I think I
picture us in the front, and when you turn it over, it's just our backside, but they're all.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was just that Mystery Men was, it was flipped around, and that Mystery Men, the words were backwards. Everything was backwards.
Oh, no. I was
working in a video store at the time, and that's the poster we had.
Chapless.
Yeah,
we had that because we hung it in the window because it would shine out front, and then when you go inside, you could see the backward part.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
you know, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. And yeah, the poster was better than the movie, but it did rent pretty well. But I don't remember anyone saying, "Well, this is a great movie."
Oh
no. It wasn't by any means, but it was.
And I came into
there were elements. Yeah, there's like open. I could say the
I was like, okay, maybe when I saw it 25 years ago, it just wrong day, wrong time. I'm like, and I start watching. Nope.
That time of the month, you know, just whatever.
I was right. I'm like, nope, nope.
Yeah.
No, it's not because I have COVID that this sucks. Like, nope, it's just not a good. It's just not good.
It's not. Like, that's what I said. Well. The only thing I was enamored with was the production values, you know.
Yes, I agree.
Some of the weird scenes.
But it was kind of fun. Yeah. It was kind of fun seeing the cheesy at the very beginning of the early CGI effects.
Well, some of the CGI was really good, though.
No, I thought somehow it was really good.
It was. Yeah. No, it wasn't that, but you could tell. It was just fun seeing the evolution of stuff.
But when the comedy goes from, like, Ben Stiller, like, trying to start the motorcycle, and then he, like, hits his nuts, and he's like, "My testicles, my testicles." And then you see the shot from someone
rising.
Yeah. that's the comedy. I'm like, okay. If I was eight, I'd love it.
Probably like
it. I would have been laughing. Some guy got his nuts crushed. That's funny.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
But someone
said, I giggle at the Three Stooges.
The Three Stooges were smart. They were written well, and they were the performances were great. Not every episode. I mean, it did 190.
And then over and over, same thing though.
That's still classic. Or Laurel and Hardy. Those are brilliant. But this just
Peter Sellers. Yeah,
it looks nice, but.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I agree. There's like really bad points to it, and just but there's just yeah.
It's I mean, like I'm glad I watched it again. you know, I'm like, I'm glad I watched it again, so I'd never have to do it again. But
it's also,
you know, it, yeah, no, it's it, yeah.
It's right up there, shakes the good. Clown, right?
It gets to have lines that I remember and have repeated multiple times, and especially with, like, you know, Roger, you know, when he was around, you know, we'd be like, I really like a good Harvey Wallbanger, you know. And then when something would go wrong, we would go, oh, dang. Because just the way those things are said.
That was a really good scene. Yeah.
Just, oh, moron! Dang. Moron!
Yeah. And Paul Reubens still stands out as, like, I liked his entrance is great. Because it's not expected to hear that voice. And, like, okay. I mean, the flatulence. Okay, that's funny again.
I laugh because when I was little, I knew a kid that talked like that. He talked like he had spit in his mouth. Yep.
So did I. Yeah. I grew up with a guy that was like that. Yeah.
No, this kid was an asshole.
I like Paul Reubens as an actor because of his range. He does really funny things, but his up on Gotham was great. Mm-hmm. Where Batman Returns, you know, he can be a really good serious actor.
No, he's good.
You know,
yeah,
he is. He's good. I mean, you know, and Pee Wee was brilliant. He was a great actor. And Pee Wee's Playhouse is still brilliant. Fucking brilliant. Even today, it's like
I just watched it not too long ago again. For I don't know how many times I've watched it and. You're right. It is timeless.
It's still fun. It makes you laugh.
It was so good that Professor Feather would get up on a Saturday morning to watch it
after playing out when it was Friday night.
Yeah, when it was back when it was the day. Mm-hmm. He's great.
Good for you, Feather.
That his performance awesome. On 30 Rock. As the
yes,
his epic.
Be my wife.
Those little hands that he had, and the brittle bones.
The Embered Prince.
You made me the happiest man alive.
That was so funny. That's so gross too. That was so fucking gross.
He also did that. He did a really good part on Reno 911.
Oh my God! Well, he's the father of the roller skating prostitute,
tacos,
right?
Tacos.
Yeah.
that's good.
What are those in your laps? Are those oranges?
I didn't know that. That's funny.
Yeah, he's the rich father who has the jet that flies them.
Yeah. And he does the
I'm the disco guy.
The Avengers or the Avenging Angels or something. Right. Or he whispers the whole time. And come to find out he's the bad guy.
We need to do an episode on Paul Reubens, I think.
That'd be pretty good. Yeah.
We should just look at all of the movies he's been in. Yeah. Because we just talked about him on the last one while Dr. Head was driving the van. You know.
Yeah.
Let's do Brother Theodore.
Brother Theodore. Anyway, back to Mystery Men. Have we beat that horse to death?
Thankfully, the horse is dead.
I was going to say, they did that when they made the movie.
Hank and Mr. Ed until he cries the safe word. Yes.
Elmer's. That's a safe word.
Yeah. Elmer's glue!
Yeah, I think I'm done with Mystery Men.
Yeah, this episode is brought to you by
Elmer's glue. You guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
Send fear.
I think this is the wrong song.
Sounds fine.
That's what she said.
Have you ever been listening to and experiencing? Oh, wait, wrong one.
Unsane Radio.
Unsanitary Radio.
And you've been listening to an experience.
Insane.
Unsane Radio. Unsane Radio. Send me another wife.
I'm a superhero. I've got superpowers.
I need some more diaper wipes.
For your potty mouth.
Oh.
Oh, no, that's Japanese scat films.
No, no, it's potty in my pants.
Potty! Oh, no.
That's Unsane Radio.
That's P. Diddy's.
Unsane Radio. Unsane Radio.
We just got canceled.
Email duck.
Unsanitary Radio for you in knowing.
And then there's Carn Feather.
All right. Yeah, and then there is.
And there's Heavy Metal Horror. You know where we're at. YouTube. And right here. Yeah, our first episode of the season comes out on Valentine's Day, so come get your VD with us. We're doing a great slugfest. We're doing Dawn of the Dead versus Return of the Living Dead with Richard Clark and Kane Bohatten from Among These Ashes from Detroit. Yeah, they're joining us as co-hosts. They got a brand new album out. It's called Embers of Elysium. Phenomenal record. Do yourselves a favor and get out and get it. Among These Ashes, Embers of Elysium.
I'd like to do a shout out to Eerie House Radio.
Yeah.
They play old radio shows and they have chats in between. The hosts are great people, Dale Kay and Siwoo and the couple other guys that are there. They're all pretty good. They're all very knowledgeable. If you'd like to listen to the old radio broadcasts, they're just brilliant. Because I think so because I am a closet Foley artist. So yeah, that's why I always liked them. But Eerie House Radio.
Look, I'm glad you
they're
said
good. They're really good.
Foley artists.
Yeah, well, I foley around in the closet too.
I was exfoliating my face last week. Exfoley artisting my face.
Yeah, and I the soundtrack by Axel Foley.
I was foiled again. Sorry.
Isn't he the singer for Guns N' Roses? Guns N' Rosacea, right?
Propagia.
That's what I've got. Guns N' Rosacea. Gums and rosacea.
On that note,
music by Oleg Serenko, Illusion, and often contributor to Unsane Radio.
Do you know what the word recalcitrant means, Dr. Tar?
No.
Look it up.
Okay. Okay. And I'm still recording, so good.
Note to self. Look up.
And here's a recalcitrant.